Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. Time to elaborate. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the backyard. This is Margaret Marshall, your host, and I want to welcome you this evening because we have a very special guest. You know, we're still in the post-independence celebration mode, and I am very, very thrilled tonight to have a very special guest. But first, let me ask our listeners online, welcome our listeners that are listening on their computers online, and to remind you that if you want to join the Labrish, you'll have to call in on 718-766-4558. And also, I want to thank you for your loyal support and all the emails, and we're getting a lot of hits on the website, so I hope that you are enjoying the content of the show. So with that said, if you're on my mailing list, of course you've gotten the promo about our shows, and I want to always remind you that you can check on any show that you might want to listen to by using the archives on the website to your right and just click on the month. And it will take you to the list of shows, and you can select the one that you might want to hear. And not only that, you can copy the URL, the address, and send it to someone else that you think may have an interest. Well, for the people who do not know what we do in the backyard, if we are out somewhere other than Jamaica, we are going to pretend that we are there. If you have been a visitor and you are accustomed to being on the beach in the evening in your hammock or your easy chair, we welcome you too, and we hope that you can pretend you're back there. If you are in the diaspora and you're longing to feel that breeze across your face, whether you used to be on your deck, under the mango tree, or out in the backyard, we ask you to get in the mode of visualizing and just feel the trade winds blowing gently over your face. Because here on Backyard Labrish, we celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the rich, diverse culture of Jamaica, land we love. And with that said, I want to read you the information on our special guest, the honorary Vin Martin, who is here, resides here with me in Atlanta, not with me, but in my city. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about him. I see he's on the board, so I'm going to tell you a little bit about him before I open up the mic to have him enlighten us about some things that I think will be quite interesting. So Mr. Martin is a graduate of Howard University in Washington, D.C. He also graduated from Penn State University with an MBA in finance and investment and holds a Juris Doctorate from the Washington College of Law of the American University in Washington, D.C. He began his professional career in Washington, D.C. as an accountant with Fannie Mae, during which time he pursued his Juris Doctorate degree. Upon graduation from law school, he was transferred to Atlanta and commenced working with Fannie Mae's legal department. In that capacity, he provided in-house legal advice to Fannie Mae's business division and was a member of the region's management team. He was at various times responsible for legal services to Fannie Mae's marketing department, where he drafted and reviewed complex contracts for purchase of single-family mortgages from numerous mortgage lenders. After 30 years at Fannie Mae, Mr. Martin retired and opened his own law practice in Stone Mountain. His area of emphasis are bankruptcy, immigration, real estate, wills, business transactions, and family law. Since 1997, Mr. Martin has been Jamaica's honorary consul in Atlanta. In this capacity, he provides unusual and customary consular services to the Jamaican community in Georgia and to foreigners seeking entry visas into Jamaica. He also meets regularly with Georgia's business leaders interested in transaction business with the country of Jamaica. Mr. Martin is a member of the District of Columbia, Georgia, and Maryland Bar Associations. He is also a member of the American Bar Association and has numerous other professional affiliations. Mr. Martin currently resides in Stone Mountain, Georgia. He's married to Hazel and has two adult sons, one who is a partner with a New York law firm and the other a consultant with an accounting firm in Washington, D.C. Mr. Martin is a vivid soccer enthusiast and a licensed Georgia youth soccer coach. And with that said, I am going to open the mic and ask members of the listening diaspora to welcome Mr. Vin Martin. Hello there.
Hello there, Miss Margaret Marshall. How are you?
Me.
Yes, indeed. How are things going?
Wonderful. You know, here in the backyard, we're relaxed in our easy chair. So we don't do official interviews. We just labrish.
Okay. Well, I am here ready, waiting, and I'm willing to participate in all the exercise, the labrish exercise that you plan for today.
Oh, well, thank you so much. And I am always telling our listeners, you know, to just pretend they're on the island because, as you know, a lot of us may not be going back, especially someone as senior as me, and we have quite a few different age groups that come by and listen to us. And I always let everybody know that we may not be retired there now, we may not plan to retire there, but we will always love Jamaica. And I, for one, am grateful and thankful that I was born there. So with that said, I would like for you to just share with the audience the wonderful celebrations that we had here in Georgia.
Well, for those who are listening, I mean, everybody knows that the 6th of August was the official day for independence. And here in Atlanta, we have kind of gone about celebrating in somewhat of a, I won't say unique way, but it is unique for many cities throughout the world. And that is, we have an entire week of celebrations. And I don't want people to start thinking, oh my golly, they're dancing down the street and they're playing reggae music and they're having, you know, street parade. No, we celebrate in different ways. First of all, we had to give thanks to God for having made it to 48 years of our independence. Many people could not see this far down the road. And even though it's a relatively young country, yet for us, we think that we should have been, some of us think we should be further along. But I think 48 years, that's a good number, and we are treading along quite successfully. So we started out the week giving thanks to God. We had a church service, which was held at one of our local churches here in Georgia. In fact, the minister of the church, Reverend Winston Lawson, is himself a Jamaican. And I thought we had a very, very wonderful presentation by a Jamaican female preacher, Reverend Durham. She was quite excited. Were you there, Margaret?
No, I wasn't able to make it.
Okay, good. You missed a nice one.
I know. I had a lot of my people there.
Good, wonderful. And then, of course, the Wednesday, the 4th of August, we had a cultural evening. And again, we had members of our community, non-professionals, all amateurs, I would say. And we had a wonderful cultural expression of Jamaica, of our independence, and just of things that would take people back to the day when they were living in Jamaica.
The memories.
Memory lane. Absolutely.
Right.
Good. And then we moved on to Friday, which is actually Independence Day. And we had one of those old-style festival dances at one of the nightclubs here. And it was well attended. People had a good time. I left by 1 o'clock, but I understand people were there until 3-4 o'clock in the morning.
That's just Jamaican style.
That's what it is, isn't it?
We can party till the sunrise.
Absolutely. No, they say no, we ain't going home, right?
Right.
So we did that, and then of course on Saturday the Atlanta Jamaican Association had a fantastic ball here close by the city of Atlanta, and had in from Jamaica as their guest speaker the Most Honorable Edward Siaga, and that was such a welcome presentation.
Oh, it sure was.
He discussed some things that sometimes, you know, having lived away from home for so long, you tended to forget.
Amen. And when at some point I'll tell you of my aha moment from his speech.
Oh, okay, wonderful. So then let me get you then over to Sunday in the park.
Uh-huh.
The final day of our celebration, but we had probably close to 1,500 or so, maybe 2,000 people in the park at a little family fun day, family picnic. We had live music, we had taped music, we had games for the children, we planted the maypole, we had food galore. I mean, it was just a wonderful, pleasant evening. The weather was fantastic, and again, Mr. Siaga came in somewhere about 5 o'clock in the evening and had his book signing there and just welcomed the folks, and everybody was just in quite an exciting mood. So we had what I consider to have been a very, very wonderful celebration of our independence. And, you know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to know that after 48 comes 49 and then 50.
We're going to be geared up for that one.
That is it. So this was kind of a dry run, if you will.
Uh-huh.
Putting the pieces together and
right.
Creating a vision as to how we intend to celebrate for the 50th. And I'm telling you, already the excitement has started building.
Right. Well, you know, that four-day celebration sort of take us back to how we used to celebrate Christmas in Jamaica. It was a whole week of celebration.
That's correct.
So I am sure, and I'm sure, do you know how long the celebration was in Jamaica? Actually, I know that there were a lot of people on the island because I know someone who is there and got stuck. They couldn't leave. They should have come up 2 days ago, and there was the flights were all filled.
Well, that is Jamaica in the summer for you.
Yes, yes, yes.
Jamaica in the summer. I was down there about 3 weeks ago, and I landed in Montego Bay. And when I got into the immigration hall, I had never seen anything like that in Jamaica.
Wow.
It was packed. There were lines gone way beyond your vision. I mean, around the corner, it was crazy, but it was good crazy.
Yes, yes, yes. I know what you mean. Well, you know, I really appreciate you bringing our listeners up to speed, and I am sure there were gala celebrations all over the world, not just here in the United States, but, you know, all over the world.
All over the world.
Because I think there's hardly a big city or even small cities that you will not find a group of Jamaicans.
Yes.
And we can celebrate, even if it's just a few of us, we can get together and really get in the mood of celebration. So that's something that we're very, very well schooled in doing, celebrating.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So now, Mr. Martin, I would like for you to enlighten our listeners about your function.
Well, let me kind of set the stage for you. The country of Jamaica has three official, fully funded and fully supported posts, if you will,
uh-huh,
in the United States. There's a consulate in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
There's the embassy in Washington, D.C., and then there's also a consulate in New York.
Right, and when you say funded, you mean there's
they're
government?
Government funded, yes.
Okay.
The consulate in New York is responsible for 33 states within the union.
Mm-hmm.
And the consulate in Miami, they're responsible for the others. The embassy itself does not have any direct responsibility for any specific state, but being the embassy, it has overall oversight.
I got
all
you.
Of the official offices.
So that would be the head of...
Yes, you consider that as a head.
Right,
you
right.
Wherever
right.
You have your ambassador.
Uh-huh.
It is Ambassador Audra Marks. And let me mention something to you. I'm not sure if you've given any thought to this yet. But the three heads of the three missions in the United States are all female.
Really?
Yes. It is.
I had no clue. And I don't know, you know, here in the backyard, you know, our theme is to celebrate, enlighten, and preserve. So this segment is really a segment of enlightening, because you'd be surprised to know that, well, I know for me, you know, having left Jamaica a long time ago, I left in 1959, mm-hmm, and during up to my retirement, you know, I was busy, you know, getting Americanized, bringing up my children, you know, doing things, and I really did not have a lot of time to learn a lot of things about Jamaica past and even the Jamaica now. So there are lots of things we don't know. And I hear from some of my fans, when we do bring something to the forefront, that they're very happy to hear.
Wonderful. I hope that little tidbit about the female running the diplomatic corps for Jamaica within the United States is something that some of your female fans will find to be.
Oh, yes, okay. Definitely.
Yeah. Now, having said that, so let's go back then to your question. What do I do, and what do people like me do? So
right, and how many of you there are?
Having identified those three, then what the country government has done, and a lot of other countries do that, is identify people within specific communities,
mm-hmm,
that they have the United States State Department approve as honorary consuls. And here,
uh-huh,
the operative word is honorary, in that it is without pay.
Oh, honorary, no pay.
No pay. So
a labor of love.
Labor of love, and just trying to provide some service. And there are about seven of us in the United States, from Boston through Philadelphia down to Richmond, Virginia, myself here in Atlanta, Georgia, move across to Houston, Texas. We have one over in Seattle, Washington, and I think there's another in northern part of California. And I don't we have one in Chicago. So we serve the communities, primarily providing passport services. We do visas for those who require visa to enter the country. We sign official documents on behalf of the country of Jamaica. For example, if someone is selling a piece of real estate in Jamaica,
mm-hmm.
and they have to get their documents notarized here in the U.S., there are two ways to go about that. One, you can go to a regular notary public
uh-huh.
and get the document notarized. But as you recall, we don't have notary publics in Jamaica.
Right.
As justices of the peace.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go to a notary public, then you're going to then have to go to the courthouse that's responsible for that notary's, the issuance of that notary's seal, and have them issue a document that says that the notary public is still valid, the notary public's appointment is still valid, that they're still good and proper. You get a certified document of that nature, and you send that with your signed documents to Jamaica.
Uh-huh.
If you're fortunate, however, to have an honorary consul or a full-fledged consul, but let's say out in the outskirts, an honorary consul close by, then you can take the documents to the honorary consul, and with that one stamp, Jamaica will accept that document as being official.
Uh-huh. So that is quite enlightening.
Yes.
So how does one know? You said there are seven beside the three. So how does one know if they have that person in their state?
You will go on, if you go online to the embassyofjamaica.org,
uh-huh.
or if you Google just the Jamaican consulates,
uh-huh.
you will see a list of all of the consulates worldwide, including those that are located in the United States.
That's very good information.
And also, you might be able to get that information from the blue pages of the Jamaican telephone directory,
which is online.
Well, no, if some people have telephone directories from Jamaica,
uh-huh.
that their families and friends will send up to them. Those, you know, real hardcore Jamaicans. I mean,
right.
Every year they get their telephone directory because they have to know where somebody is and what's happening down there. They want to contact them. A business entity or a government agency, they need their telephone directory. And
I got you.
That every year. And I was surprised. You know, sometimes we get these calls from Jamaica. It could be just an individual calling and giving you one of those stories that says, "Oh my God, Mr. Martin, I am, you know, my house burnt down. I wonder if you could buy me a house." Or you know, they just think you're living in America, so they're...
Oh, that's funny.
And how did you get my number? Oh, I just looked in the telephone directory. So
oh, wow.
That we are all listed in the telephone directory. So
I got you.
Online,
uh-huh.
the telephone directory, and, you know, it's not a large number. So generally, if there's one in your immediate area, you'll pretty much know that there is.
Right, I got you. And, do all of the people in your position perform the same duties?
Just about. There are some documents that some consulate might issue,
uh-huh.
the honorary consulate might issue that others may choose not to. One of them that comes to mind is a document called an emergency certificate. So if you are trying to travel to Jamaica primarily, and you don't have a valid passport. You know, nowadays, the U.S. government requires that if you're going to travel to come back into the United States, you must have a passport or an equivalent travel document. You just can't go with your green card anymore. A lot of people used to do that, but now you cannot. So you must have a passport. If you don't have a passport, then the consulate might be able to issue you an emergency certificate. That's the name of the document, which is generally for emergency purposes only.
If you have a death or something like that.
But we have people who want to call emergency, the fact that they didn't find out that their passport had expired until the night before they were ready to go on a cruise. That's not the kind of emergency that's really
right. So that is issued by the consul at his discretion. Do you have any females in this position?
Yes.
Besides, I know the three head ones are females, but the honorary ones.
I know the one in Houston. I think there's a female there, or was a female there until recently. The one in Seattle, the one in Richmond. I am not sure of the one in California who is out there at the moment, acting in that capacity at the moment. I know the one in Chicago, the one in Boston, myself, and the one in Dallas. If I didn't mention Dallas, I think there's one there. They're male. But yes, there are at least three female.
Interesting. Now, is there like a general set of rules that everybody sort of follow?
You mean all the honorary consuls?
Yes.
To some extent, and I tell you why. The post has to have accreditation by the U.S. State Department. So you have to follow the guidelines. There are some protocol that control all the consular corps and the diplomatic corps internationally, and it's based upon the Geneva Convention. So you have to follow certain guidelines.
Right.
And each country has some guideline that they disclose, but a lot of times, you know, you are left on your own to do as you deem is appropriate for the job to be served. One of the things I didn't mention, which is of major importance, is that we visit people who are in jail.
Okay.
So if they request a visit, if somebody calls and say, for example, which is one that I frequently get, my son has been incarcerated for whatever the charge might be. I cannot find him. I don't know what's going on. I can't get in. And these are generally from mothers out of the city.
Out of the city or out of the country?
City or country. Mother in New York, child.
Right, I got you.
Mother in Jamaica, child is here, whatever. But outside of the city. And I will then go to once I find out what precinct or what jail they are being held in, I'll go by, you know, they will allow you to go and visit the person. We also visit prisons. So we have the jails, the local jails, but there are prisons within, say, a five-hour drive from here. It's somewhere in Alabama, for example.
Yes.
That house, some Jamaicans, many Jamaicans who are being deported, for example, are held there before they are deported. And sometimes they ask to have us visit them. And I will go down and do that. And then, as you can well imagine, being the face of Jamaica in the community, you can say you perform other services as requested. You go to opening of stores, of businesses, you cut ribbons, you know, all the little
things. Yes, yes. So it sounds to me that you could be very busy with, and all of this is not an income-producing source.
Truly gratuitous. And one thing I might add here is that there are times when some of your own Jamaicans may say, oh, he's not as visible enough in the community or he does not do a whole lot. But the matter is, as one person, you truly have to decide which of all the
demands
on your time you're going to attend to, because you have a little pecking order, you know?
Right. Do you have to have a priority list?
Yes. If it's official required by the government of Jamaica, that gets priority.
Yes.
If somebody is in jail and needs to see you, you get priority there. If a child is involved, a kid is involved, I mean, things of those nature, they get priority over, say, somebody who would like you to come to an event just to have you there.
Right, right, right. Now, are you involved in the various associations and in the planning of, say, the events that took place this past weekend?
Yes. About 9 or 10 years ago, actually, I came up with this idea that independence should be celebrated and should not be, there should be no cost to a Jamaican who wants to celebrate independence. At that time, we had a few people who would put on, quote, independence dances and independence events, but you had to pay to go in. And I thought that was not appropriate. So what we did, we identified the major organizations within the city. Some of them were past student associations. Some of them were supporting clubs. Some were just regular social clubs. For example, the Atlanta Jamaican Association, Benevolent Mission of Atlanta, the Integrity Children Fund. These are organizations doing things to benefit Jamaica.
Right.
So what we did, we coordinated, we organized, or I organized and created a little group, and we refer to them as Union of Jamaican Organizations in Atlanta. The primary and only purpose of that group is to celebrate independence, to prepare for, to plan and execute the celebration of independence. So I am affiliated with that group as kind of an overall. I'm not the head of the group, but I'm actively involved in ensuring that the group gets the kind of support that it needs. So it is a little more official than, say, some of the other groups around, only because I do lend the name of the consulate to the group.
I've got you.
And that is the group that puts on independence and has done a fantastic job. I mean, truly proud of the fact that I am able to call in these folks, and they work very hard and very actively to support the role of the consulate in trying to get nice independence activities out there on the street for everyone to enjoy.
Well, on behalf of the people that are scattered all over, I want to really thank you and know that I'm sure that you feel appreciated. I hope you do.
I surely do.
Because, you know, to have a position like that, and you still have to do what you have to do to maintain your family and your needs. And it sounds to me like it's a lot of hours that you put into representing us. So on behalf of the people who might not be able to, I am thanking you.
And I thank you for thanking me.
And with that said, I want to know if there has started to be any special plans for the Big 5-0.
Well, the concept is there. What I'm going to propose is that the ambassador, the Jamaican ambassador to the United States, play a more active role in helping the community throughout North America plan this 50th. In other words, I am proposing to her that we have a standard piece of the celebration. Okay. Why is this so? Because it is our biggest for many of us. And for most, any of us, well, I should say, people in my age group, your age group, and I say anyone who may be 30, maybe or 40 or up, this will be the most significant one of all, because I will not be around to see the...
I was just about to say that. For us, this will be it.
This will be it. So we're going to try to make this the best. So the planning, the ideas are rolling in my head, but we do intend to get together a planning committee, and we're not looking beyond, we're not overlooking next year, because God willing, our 49th is going to be exciting too. But clearly, we will start putting things together for the 50th. Give ourselves about 2 years to have that plan in place. So I expect it to be a fantastic set of celebration. We're going to light up the buildings downtown Atlanta. We're going to have flag raising. We are going to have a great ceremonies and have all the people in Georgia or involved, and not just Jamaicans, but all the people of Jamaica. And
right.
And the government.
Fans and friends and...
Absolutely. All the people who have traveled to Jamaica for years, we're going to start bringing them in the picture. We intend to make this one truly an incredible experience for those who are able to celebrate with us.
Right. Now, can you tell us approximately how many Jamaicans are in the diaspora in America, just in the USA? Is there any figures?
No. What is the thing that is said is that there worldwide there are approximately 2.5 million Jamaicans. So there are almost as many Jamaicans outside of Jamaica than within Jamaica. And some of them, you know, if you add to the numbers those who are, you know, offspring of Jamaica.
I call the Americans one Jamaicans.
Jamaicans, yes. The estimate there is 2.5 million. Now, how many are in North America versus, say, the rest of the world?
Sure.
I truly don't know, but I hear that Florida has about 250,000. New York has about 500,000. And, of course, if you go up to Canada, Canada has probably another 350,000 Jamaicans.
Wow.
Toronto. That's just big. It's truly a large population up there.
Well, I just want to mention here and to share with my listeners something that I heard Honorable Seago said in his speech. And I don't really have the percentages, but perhaps you can remind me. But what really impressed me is that most people don't realize this, I think. And that is the percentage of U.S. dollars that stays in Jamaica as opposed to the ones that, you know, only a small percentage that is even used there, spent there by tourists or different industries. But 100% of the money that Jamaicans send from all over the world to their families down there, whether it's their children or to be invested or, you know, gifts or what, 100% of that stays in Jamaica. And I thought that was very interesting. I never thought of it from that point of view.
Yes, in fact, I've never heard of it. I heard it said like that. But, you know, he was finance minister.
Oh, yes, I never even thought of that, and that's why those statistics...
The numbers are like those are things that he would focus on.
Right, right. But didn't you find that interesting?
Absolutely. Never thought of it.
I was very moved and impressed by that.
Yes, because the money goes down, and one of the two reasons why that might be so. First of all, most of the money that's sent in, the remittances that are sent in, to Jamaica are by people who cannot necessarily afford to save it. Rather, it's to people who cannot afford to save it. So when you send $25 down, $50 down to one of your siblings, your friend, they're going to go straight into the market and spend it. Okay? So you're thinking here that the average person who works hard and who has family down there that they have to support, it is kind of a almost mandatory that they spend what they receive. There's nothing to save. Generally, you know, if they do save it, it's just a little bit for, as we said, for rainy day.
Right, right.
But when you get some of the other people sending money in, other than your remittances to your family. Yes, there are people who may send money down there to spend, to do some other things, some of which might get back out of the country. Put some money into this stock for me, and once it gets start generating an income, then I want you to send it back out to me. No,
right.
We're not talking about that. The remittances go straight to buy school supplies, uniforms, groceries, pay light bill, pay water bill, pay your rent, those remittances are used on the spot. And that's what he was referring to.
Yes, yes, yes. It made a lot of sense. So 100% of that stays in Jamaica, as opposed to what the tourist dollars that comes in,
yeah,
right? We're only a small percentage.
Yeah, because remember, you know, many of the tourists, you book your ticket with Delta Airlines, you get nothing out of that.
Mm-hmm.
You have a hotel in Jamaica that you book your hotel stay here in the U.S. That money stays in the U.S. A little
mm-hmm.
bit of that may go down to pay some rent, some salaries, and do some basic thing. But the majority of that money will stay in the U.S. Remittances go into Jamaica. And I never thought about it like that, but Mr. Siag was absolutely on point with that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, 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 definitely. And
our lavish time is over.
Yes, yes, yes. I was
just on to another appointment.
Yes, well, I really appreciate you being here with us to help enlighten us about...
I look forward to another session with you at some point when something meaningful has occurred so we can talk about it.
Okay, well, I thank you so much for your time, and you're always welcome here, and we hope that you will go in the archives and listen to some of the past shows and spread the word that we're always here on a Wednesday at 8 o'clock to celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the rich, diverse culture of Jamaica, land we love.
Thank you.
So we thank you, and we really appreciate your time.
Okay,
and we'll hope to visit us. We'll hope that you will visit us again soon, as we would say in Jamaica, walk good and come back soon.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Martin.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And for the rest of the fans on the board, I want to remind you that you can hit 1 on your keypad if you would like to join the Labrish. We have a few more minutes left, and I want to remind our listeners that you're listening to Backyard Labrish on Blog Talk Radio. We are here each week at 8 o'clock on a Wednesday. And we are next week, we hope to have the Honorable Mr. Siaga as her guest. We had promised to have him this week, but we had some technical difficulties with the broadcast that we should have recorded. And he was so busy while he was here with us in Atlanta that it was a little stressful. So he's going to be gracing us with his presence in the backyard, which we will pre-record. We're making arrangements because he has returned to Jamaica. So we're making arrangements to do it where he will be more relaxed. And as our people in Atlanta know, and perhaps all over the diaspora, the people know that he has published his first volume of his memoirs. And it's in the bookstores. It's on Amazon. So if you want to read this very interesting first volume, and I will read it about, you will read about it next week because I'll send out some information in the promo. But, you know, this is a very historical book because, as he mentions, he's the only living person that was that involved in bringing the country from, you know, colonialism to independence. So he has a lot of facts that will be discussed, that is discussed in this book. And volume 1 was published a couple of months ago. I think it was in March. And Mr. Siaga, I don't know how many cities he visited, but I'm sure he'll be making possibly other trips. But we'll have the pleasure of talking with him, and so our fans in the backyard will get a glimpse of perhaps what the book was about. And I'm going to be talking to him about some other things other than the book, because as you my fans know, that here in the backyard, we're not political. We don't discuss religion. What we do is try to encourage especially our seniors or anyone with positive information or service that really can have us be inspired. We can celebrate, and we hopefully are preserving a part of the culture that there is not a lot of information about when we grew up before independence. So if you know of someone who would like to share some stories, I am always open and asking to have them be a part of the Labrish, because this is such a cool format that we have to our disposal, where not only can we celebrate, but we can preserve by sharing your stories on Blog Talk Radio with us in the backyard. This will be preserved in the archives, hopefully forever, because I don't think you can destroy cyberspace. So if you are a grandmother, so your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren can hear your voice or hear your idea or your story, so we ask you to visit us in the backyard and share. So if anyone on the board now would like to add to anything we have discussed this evening, we have a couple more minutes. So I see we have a caller from 516-244. We have a caller who have spiked in. So, and we have a callers from Atlanta, New Jersey. So if anyone on the board would like to share with us, just raise your hands just by hitting one on your keypad. And if I don't see a row, I see a raised hand, so I'm going to open the mic to 516-244. Good evening. This is Margaret. Welcome to the backyard. Who do I have?
Hi, Margaret. Good evening. This is Janine.
Hi, Janine. And where are you calling from this week?
Right now I'm still in Miami, Florida.
Oh, welcome to the backyard.
Yeah. I miss some of what was said tonight because I'm at a prayer meeting, really. And it
Yes. Well, were you involved in any of the celebrations, independence celebration there in Miami?
Oh, yes. Last week, I went, well, here they're having a lot of independence celebration at the different churches.
Uh-huh.
Last week I went to one at Presbyterian Church in Fort Lauderdale, and it was really something.
Well attended?
Well attended, yes, well attended. They had children performing the different Jamaican things.
Cultural dances.
Yes, and then I went to Coral Spring to a concert that they put on for independence, and that was something else. The children from Dua in the Park, they had these kids dancing. They're really good dancers.
You mean they came up specially for that function?
Right, right.
Oh, wonderful.
And from St. Mary. And
uh-huh.
They had different people performing. You know, I don't remember some of the names, but there was this woman that was blind, and she was singing, and she had a voice like an angel. It was really well put on, you know. Everything was so nicely done.
Oh, that is, you know, there's so much to celebrate about our country and our culture.
Yes.
And although there's always something negative about almost any country, but we seem to have had a lot recently,
yes,
you know, for whatever reason. But it's
right.
Good to know that when it came time for independence celebration, we had peace on the island, number one. And
yes,
a lot of people went down there for the celebration. And then people in the diaspora all over the world celebrated in true Jamaican style. So
yes,
I really appreciate you giving us a little glimpse about what happened in Miami, although you were just visiting because you live in, you want to tell the audience where you live?
Long Island.
And I'm sure there was a lot of celebration there too. Not even if the people who did not celebrate on a big scale by going to a ball, I'm sure had some celebration in their homes or their communities.
Oh yes, it's very big here with most of the churches here.
Mm-hmm.
They really celebrate that day. You know, they have it at different times, and then you have different ministers that visit the different churches, and you have people came up from Jamaica, and it's really something, you know, and to see the kids putting on a performance, and it was really, really something, you know.
Well, I thank you for sharing that with us. And we can all know that was a day where, you know, millions of Jamaicans came together in peace to celebrate, you know, in one
right.
voice to celebrate. And, you know, when people come together for something positive, it can have wonderful ripple effects. So it is my hope that as we move towards the 50th year, this positive energy that has been, you know, ignited for the celebration of the 48th year will really be very, very strong in moving positive things to happen not only on the island and in our communities of Jamaicans, but this will also have a ripple effect on the rest of the world.
Oh, yeah, and they're announcing already what's going to take place for the 50th anniversary. It's going to be something for, you know, whoever lives to see it, because they're already, they're already talking about what is going to take place. No, Connie.
Yes, we still have you on the air.
Yes.
So with that said, I want to thank you, Janine, for sharing with us. And we're almost out of time, so unless someone else on the board would like to put their voice on record, we are going to be saying goodnight. So I'm waiting for a raised hand, and I want to remind our listeners on the board that if they want to call in, they have to dial 718-766-4558 to be part of the Labrish, whether this evening or in the future. I want to thank all our supporters who are really supporting the format, because we seem to be getting a lot of hits. People are sharing the shows with their friends, and we really appreciate that. At the same time, I want to tell you that if there's something that you would like to hear us talk about or discuss, or you want to start a discussion, there's two ways you can do it. We're trying to get our website more active and more, you know, used by the Jamaican diaspora. I do have someone who's helping me technically with it. And as soon as he's comfortable, he's going to be interacting online with the people who want to join the chat. Because for the people who like technology, if you're listening online, you can be part of the chat room and you can, you know, interact with the host of the chat room who's monitoring, or the administrator of the chat room. So I am not able to do that. If you want to chat on Labrish with me, you do have to call in and hit 1 on your telephone. So with that said, I want to remind you that we're always open to suggestions. So please interact with us. Let us know what you'd like. And we want you to be part of the community. So Janine, are you still there? I want to really thank you for always being a loyal supporter, and to remind you to spread the word among your friends and family so that you have more participation in the backyard. And for all the other listeners on the board, I want to tell you that although you don't put your hands up, I do appreciate you. and ask you to come back often and walk good, because we're going to be signing off, and I will see you next week, and hopefully we will have a lot more people participating. So with that said, I want to wish you well and to remind you to make it a great week. So I'll see you next week.
God's willing.
Right. Good night, Janine, and good night to the rest of the callers. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye.